Well, each year in St David's Hall at the beginning of December, there's a concert called The Promise of Christmas. Many of you know about it. Many of you have been there. Linda always sings in it. It's a choir of, 200 or so, maybe more, including children. And the place is packed. And it's a wonderful title, The Promise of Christmas. It's an apt title because Christmas is all about the fulfillment of God's promises. Now, as human beings, we don't always keep our promises. Sometimes due to memory, sometimes you make a promise to somebody and you just purely forgot about the promise you made. Sometimes it's circumstances and inability to keep those promises. Sometimes it's that you've made a false promise. You wanted to please somebody, but it wasn't true, the promise that you made, there was a lie involved. But God is not like us, is he? I don't know about you, maybe some of you have promised to yourself. If you do your Christmas shopping early and you found still on Christmas Eve, you are still shopping, still buying a present. We're not very good at keeping promises. But God is not like us. He's not like a man that he should lie. God always fulfills his promises and he has the ability to do so. He has perfect wisdom, perfect memory, perfect power. Whatever he promises, he fulfills. Now, from the Garden of Eden, God has made promises to men and women. And all of his promises are centered in the person of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says this: "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are amen." In Jesus Christ, all the promises of God are affirmed and fulfilled. Consider this promise that came through Isaiah the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child." To us, an impossible promise. How can a virgin be pregnant? How can she be with child? But God has all the ability, all the power. With him, nothing is impossible. The promise was this: "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." God has all the ability to fulfill that promise, and he fulfilled it. God became man, and God dwelt with us. God with us. Then Micah the prophet says this: "But you, Bethlehem, out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Though least amongst all the tribes in Judah, Bethlehem was chosen to be the birthplace of the Saviour. Some American worked out the possibility of that happening, being prophesied several hundred years ago. And he said, well, if you filled Texas with silver dollar bills, it would be full of 2 feet deep of dollar bills. The probability of it being that place, in all the places that could be mentioned in the world, Bethlehem. I don't know how he worked out his maths. Maybe some of the mathematicians could help us. But if you think of all the promises and all the things that are written down hundreds of years before Christ came and exactly fulfilled, staggering. So this morning we're going to consider some of the promises of God. 3 promises. First of all, the promise of a saviour. What is the greatest message that you ever hear? Do you ever go on the internet and play some old messages? Maybe some of you go back and listen to Winston Churchill's victory speech and you say, well, that was a wonderful message. Or a Martin Luther King liberation speech. Or you want to listen to Nelson Mandela and his call to the nation. But you know, these messages are nothing compared to the message of Christmas and the message that the angels brought. Do you remember what they said to those shepherds on the hillside? "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." This was God speaking through the angels. "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." They were given a promise. promise of a saviour. You will go there. Believe the promise. You will find in a manger a little babe in an animal feeding trough, and he is the saviour, Christ the Lord. And he's come for all people, and this message is for all people's good news. Joseph was told this, that the name of the Son of God would be Jesus. Why? Because Jesus means this, Saviour. He will save his people from their sin. The message of Christmas is about the message of a rescuer. The message of a Saviour. One who has come to save men and women from the tyranny of sin. To rescue all who believe in him. What is the greatest difficulty you and I have over Christmas? A sin within. That's why sometimes there's complaints. Sometimes there's falling out of families over Christmas time. Sometimes there's not joy. And there's not togetherness, and there's loneliness, or there's division. The problem is sin. But Christ came as a saviour to free us from the tyranny of sin, came to go to a cross to pay for our sins, and not only to, as it were, forensically deal with our sins so that God can say no condemnation, but to actually break the dominion of sin in the hearts of all who believe in him. That's a wonderful promise, that whoever believes in Christ and trusts in him, abandons himself, they have a new life in Christ. A life where they're free from the dominion of sin. Yes, they sin, but it's no longer that tyrant over them. God says this, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember them no more. Think of the word promise. And think of the word I will. This is what God does. I will. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. I will be merciful to their sins. I will be merciful to their lawless deeds. I will remember them no more. Sometimes we remember the sins of our relatives who've hurt us. And sometimes we even hold it against them. But God says, for those who trust in his Son, Jesus Christ, I will not remember their sins anymore. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Christmas is about Christ. And so you need to know him. You need to trust him. And he is offering everlasting life to all who believe in him. Whoever you are, whatever you've been, whatever you've done, if you turn from sin, you will find a saviour willing to forgive you and willing to have mercy upon you. The prophet Micah says this, who is a God pardoning like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will have compassion and he will subdue our iniquities. You will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. No wonder the angel said, glad tidings of great joy for all people. So there's a promise of a saviour. But now I want to encourage all believers today with the promise of Emmanuel. The promise that God is with us. Life can be difficult. There's a battle with sin, a battle with trials and temptations. But you, believer, you need to remember this, that you are united to Jesus Christ forever. And God is with you forever. And nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said this, I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. we will face death. Our relatives will die. They will face death. But remember the promise of Emmanuel. God is with you in that hour, the hour of death. God is with us. You may go through turbulent times, feel the oppression of the enemy. But principalities and powers cannot separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Emmanuel, God is with us. In your present life circumstances and in your future life circumstances, neither the present nor the future can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Wherever you may be, whatever circumstance you're in, nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ. There was a lovely modern carol written by Michael Card entitled Emmanuel that the choir sang at St. David's Hall. And a lot of it was straight from Scripture. It was beautiful. And one of the lines was this: if God is for us, who can be against us? What a wonderful promise for the believer. For those who are children of God, it's not for everybody, this promise. God isn't for everybody, not in that way. No, but for those who trust Him, if God is for us, who can be against us? Well, what can be against us? Mary and Joseph would know a tyrant against them, Herod. But he was against them and against their son. What did it matter? God was for them. He would take them down into Egypt and protect them. What a privilege to be a Christian. Emmanuel, God is with us. And then lastly this morning, we thought of the promise of a Saviour. We thought of the promise of Emmanuel. But lastly, the promise of an everlasting kingdom. Luke chapter 1, verse 32. The angel says this to Mary about Jesus. He will be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The world that we have, the world that we live in, the world that we know has an end date to it. Whatever nations decide about climate change, no matter how hard we try to cut carbon emissions, imagine everybody's on board. That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? If all the nations were on board with this, but no matter how hard we try to save our planet, the world as we know it has an end date. One day the heavens will be wrapped up, folded up like a scroll. One day the earth will come to an end. But God's kingdom will endure forever. Mary, that young girl, heard this staggering truth. He will reign forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Those who love to go to see the Messiah and to hear those glorious words, he will reign forever and ever. And that's the wonderful truth. Christ has a kingdom that will last forever and ever. Now, we live in a temporary and a shakable world. Not so long ago, really, if you think of history. The world was shaken with two massive world wars. Millions died. Recently, we've seen the rise of nationalism again. Nations have known an increase in terrorism. There is a shaking of the nations. The threat of nuclear war still is very real. But you know, the Christian need never fear. God is the one who rules and reigns. Our Saviour is great. He is the Son of the Highest. All things belong to Him, and He must reign. There's a lovely carol that we sometimes sing. One of the verses is this: our God, this is thinking of Jesus Christ, our God, heaven cannot hold Him, nor earth sustain. Heaven and earth will flee away when He comes to reign. And that's the wonderful truth. Christ is coming again, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that that he is God, that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Isaiah said this, his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. Kings shall bow before him, all nations shall worship him. What is the comfort for a struggling church? What is the comfort for churches that have been persecuted overseas and believers imprisoned? The comfort is this, is that Jesus Christ is great and he will reign forever and ever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. His is an unshakable kingdom. Our lives are temporary. The kingdoms of the world are temporary. Everything will one day be shaken by our God when he comes again. But Christ's kingdom remains unshakable. So this morning I hold before you the promise of a Saviour. Do you trust him? Do you know him? Do you know him to be your Saviour? The one who's died for your sins. The promise of Emmanuel. God is with you this day if you're a Christian. He's with you tomorrow. And if God is with you, and if he's for you, who can be against you? And the promise of an everlasting kingdom. He will reign. He is the victor. And we worship him. Shortly we're going to close with singing a modern carol. And one of the verses says this. Fullness of hope in Christ we had longed for. Promise of God in Jesus. Through his obedience we are forgiven. Opening the floodgates of heaven. That's what happens. Those who've come to trust in Christ, they found the floodgates of heaven opened. They've been reconciled to God. They're in his kingdom. They belong to him. Our Christmas card went out, 2,500 around the doors. And in that Christmas card, we had a little message. We talked about peace and joy that would last the whole year through. But it's just not just the whole year through, is it? It's peace and joy that God has promised to all believers for all ages, despite the sorrow we may know now, despite the difficulty and the hardship we know now, despite the agony and the trouble we go through now, yet he's promised peace and joy. The promises of God are yes in Jesus Christ, are amen in Jesus Christ. May each of us hold on to those promises this day. Amen.